Okay, and welcome back. And it's time to give you our best with two of the best on the world. And my colleague Yoichi Shimatsu, for years now, was first to lay this on the line, to tell all of us what was going to happen. He's predicted and forecast virtually every major event. I'm stand in awe of his understanding of nature, the environment. Former weekend editor of the Japan Times newspaper, Yoichi is just a great human being. And every week, every Monday, he's here, come hell or high water, unless he's got something that just can't be changed. We have Dana Durnford as well. Let me say hello to Dana, who will be standing by this half hour. He'll kind of carry on during our number, or the second half hour of this third hour tonight. Dana, are you there?
Yes, thank you, Jeff. Yes, I am, finally.
All right. Yeah, glad to have you on. We'll catch up with you in just a little bit. And let me go to the latest here. This is just more of the same old sickening stuff. The mainstream media has literally done the gravest disservice to all of us that it could possibly do. This is the gravest catastrophe in recorded history. And the mainstream media, we're coming on 5 years in March, has done everything possible to play ball with the lying, hiding antics of the government. How many news conferences has the federal government, the EPA, or any other agency had to inform you people about the danger you're in, wherever you are in the Northern Hemisphere, not just the U.S.? Zero. None. They haven't said a thing. Yoichi, are you there? Oh, we might have lost him. All right, we'll get him back. We always have fun trying to call Thailand. We had a lovely Thai woman's voice. Couldn't understand her, but she was saying something about, I would assume, the party you're trying to reach is not available at the moment. Please leave a message. Anyway, we finally got Yoichi, but now we've lost him. So let me read this to you here. Time magazine is saying, and you know, you just say, well, what the hell took him so long? I've been telling you since that yachtsman sailed across the Pacific and held a news conference several years ago now. He said the ocean is broken. There's nothing left out there. He'd always made the trip from Osaka to San Francisco because of the extraordinary abundance of sea life. And he made the trip a year and a half ago, and he said he saw, what the heck did he say? Two birds, one fish, and one whale with a tumor on its head. You there, Yoichi?
Yeah, we got scrambled. Plane went by. Anyway, I wanted to wish Dana a happy birthday. And glad he made his birthday, because we were quite worried about the high temperatures he was encountering. He's taken many, many risks out there. You've taken a lot of extreme risks. And if you weren't such an excellent sailor, seaman, I don't think anyone else could have steered their way out of some of the stuff you were in.
So, he was in anyway, 18...
A birthday to celebrate, for sure.
Yeah. He was in 18-foot-high seas at one point several weeks ago. He's just a remarkable human being, and so happy birthday, brother!
You guys are way too kind, and I was saying I'm going to bring up my birthday anyway. You beat me to it, so good stuff.
It's all right, all right. Okay, let me get back to what I was going to do.
Yeah, I guess the best birthday. I think the best birthday present for him was Dr. Richard Wilcox going after Jay Cullen of Vancouver University.
That was wonderful.
Pro-nuclear fiend. Who poses as a biologist. So I think for you, Dana, I'm sure he did that for you. So.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah. Okay, good stuff.
I'm so sick of these liars and frauds and phonies, and we're only going to see more of them as more people become ill with cancer and dying and all the rest of it. You'll see. You'll see. It's all migrating on shore. It's not going to stay at the shoreline. It comes inland, and people are going to bioaccumulate. The fish restaurants are still busy as hell. The sushi joints are busy as hell. So it's just they don't get it. And they don't get it because they're not being told or warned by their own government. Once again, stabbed in the back by this corporatocracy we used to call and still do a republic, but it's not a republic mm-hmm. anymore. CBS News, September 29th. Strange spike, says CBS, in fur seal deaths on California coast. See, they act like they're shocked. Federal officials are trying to understand what's behind a sharp rise in the stranding and the deaths of threatened fur seals. We are, quote, significantly higher than what we would normally expect here in California, said such and such of the NOAA Fisheries Stranding Coordinating Center. The surge in fur seal deaths follows several months in which thousands of starving sea lions were turning up along the California coast. Time magazine, October 3rd. Especially alarming, Time says, for a marine biologist is that, unlike sea lion pups that are experiencing their own bizarre strandings, the Guadalupe fur seals are listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act, with some 15,000 estimated to exist in the world. And that's it. This is an alarm bell ringing, says Marine Mammal Center Jeff Boehm. Well, Jeff Boehm, congratulations and welcome to reality. Yochi, this death of the Pacific Ocean is continuing to gather momentum. Yeah. There's no other way to look at it.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, there was this, as I talked to that fish and wildlife official in Southern California back in 2013, when I was doing the study around the radiation study, and found that dead mother seal. Guadalupe Island has got this, was sort of protected by this warm water, you know, down south around it, from radiation effects. And so there was a surge of sea lice there that would come up the coast. But unfortunately, they come up the coast in the winter. The fish would come up in the first winter, and they would get hit. So Guadalupe Island itself is fairly safe. But they would come up the California coast and eat a lot of small fish, you know, that in fact were being contaminated off the California current there. So I think these Mexican fur seals have been ingesting over the past several winters a lot of radiation, and it's finally starting to catch up with them, basically. You know, and this is why they're washing up with lesions and all the usual signs we've been seeing.
That's exactly right.
On all the other dead sea mammals.
Now,
and the federal government is calling it an unusual mortality event, an unusual mortality event. Well, it's not unusual anymore. This is the usual mortality event we're seeing all up and down the marine mammals.
Yeah, get and, this one. Here's
I wish the Marine Mammal Centers would actually come out. They do autopsies. They do have Geiger counters and dosimeters now, based on recommendations that you and I made in 2015. But I think the pressure is on now on the federal government. That, you know, this is why they're starting to push now. They're starting to give in.
I agree. Here's another one.
Okay, Kobe Bryant. Southern California. Kobe Bryant's gone. He's left the area. He's
all right. Hold on. Let me preface this.
Okay.
One quickie.
Yeah.
Reuters is saying that, and look at the wording, folks. Record number of threatened seals stranded along California. Stranded meaning dead on the beach. That's how they're playing games with words. Stranded along California. They're dead. And the pictures in their own service, Reuters News Service, they're dead. All right. Now, what Yochi is starting to talk about is the exodus of the super elite wealthy from Southern California to get away from what they realize and their children face is the accumulating radiation all along the coast. And it is really moving into L.A. and San Diego. They're not protected at all. Go ahead.
Yeah, so Kobe Bryant left monthly. Jeff Bridges, he sold his mansion. Now Tom Cruise has got two of them. One is already sold and the other one's on the block. So they're all, they're all pretty well-informed people, you know. Everyone talks about Cruise and the Scientologists and all that, but they do keep track of environmental issues. Their big thing is plastic on the water, and I think they've moved beyond that now. They're realizing radiation is heavy duty. And Jane Fonda is selling her vast, huge ranch in New Mexico, and obviously these people are starting to purchase dosimeters, Geiger counters, and they're finding out and hiring experts who are telling them, get out of here, it's getting worse. So I think that's, you know, this is not just about the drought. This is about radiation. Because these people are the last to be hit with water shortage. That's not their problem. They can buy water. But obviously radiation on the West Bank. You say, as you said, this is sort of confirming, radiation is not staying on the shore. It's moving inland. It's moving into the hills around Los Angeles. So we're talking about the human catastrophe. The next series of mammals who are affected are not going to be marine mammals. They're only partly marine mammals when they go swimming or surfing. It's the human population of California right now feeling the brunt of it. But there's other states that New Mexico would suggest. We're in for it. This is the beginning of really the end. Yeah, the beginning of the end of human civilization on the West Coast. And I think all the smart money is soon going to depart. As Dana said, a major real estate company tried to ask him, is it really real what's happening? And of course his answer was yes. So anyway, that's the situation in the human population. The smart people are running.
Yeah, well, we'll see more names moving out. It'll be interesting to see where they go, where they think it's safe. I suspect that some of them will follow Ted Turner and buy land in Argentina, Patagonia, or Chile, further south they can get.
Yeah, I think they're pulling out south. Yeah. They'll come back to do stuff in studios. But as you see, more and more films are not being made in Hollywood anymore, or Burbank. They're moving their work to other places. So we'll begin to see films being made in other parts of the world as these stars tell their agents, I won't work in Portland or whatever. Bad situation. Situation Japan yesterday was the beginning of the so-called My Number institution, which everyone is being mailed right now in the mail in Japan. They'll receive a 12-digit number in which all of their personal information will revolve around, will be identified by this number. Everything from a train ticket to bank accounts, what stocks they're buying, pension, everything is going to be there. So we're getting a situation of total information control, government completely pervasive on all aspects of your personal life, knowing every move you make and compiling that data. The big server farms in Japan are on the big university campuses. So we know that these universities have part of the new secret. And this is coming when the government's popularity is really declining. Everyone is really frustrated with Fukushima and the increasing radiation and the drink of water. As I mentioned, with these typhoons. There's no direct wind from Fukushima off the Pacific Trench. Tokyo is a boom city, still the Olympic city, still going to be the host of the Rugby World Cup, but getting more and more dangerous. So the government's got to impose this total identification system to be able to watch everyone's movements, their emails and all that, to try to break up the anti-nuclear movement as they try to push people back into the death zone and where radiation is not going down. It's just being concentrated in certain areas of those areas. Other things, Trans-Pacific Partnership, as I mentioned to you many times in the past, that was signed last night in Atlanta. Yeah. Or actually, yesterday morning in Atlanta. This thing is basically, as I said before, it's going to let GMO, Monsanto ship GMO rice, GMO food products into Japan and allow radioactive food to come in from Japan into the U.S. So the sushi bars will be packed with cheaper fish, all of it radioactive. And standards, health standards now will be dropped. All kinds of inspection custom standards will be dropped. So this is going to be a free flow of deadly goods either way.
Okay,
I'm very concerned about the biologics because,
Yeah, this is opening the door to Japanese or radioactive fish caught off Japan, and it'll be just funneled into the U.S. to sushi bars. This is what's happening. Good
point. Yeah, the biggest market in the world for sushi. Yeah, right, and fish and so on. So, and this will allow, let's say, radioactive fish from Alaska, which would not get into the U.S., you know, under U.S. food standards, to be funneled to Japan and then shipped back into the U.S. So this is, I think, one of the ways to save also the Alaskan economy, the radioactive fish things out there, to ship this all into the U.S. consumer market. They let the big Japanese food companies promote this as they're so good at doing, because they control vast amounts, you know, miles and miles of shelf space in all the U.S. supermarkets and so on. The other issue here that really affects us in the nuclear arena is the biologics. These are pharmaceuticals that are made from living organisms, plants, animals, and humans. It covers human blood, human organs, human enzymes, human proteins. And what this, you know, they're not showing other cards yet. They're being very dicey. But what it eventually will mean, as, you know, test case, as the product comes out, test case, after test case, as we classified it, they're going to give pharmaceuticals an exclusive copyright. It could mean something like herbal medicines, like the ones you're selling now, the algae you're selling now, you know, the product that you're advertising now on your website. Those could be theoretically overcome by any company that comes to have ingredients, okay, in those algae, for example, the antioxidants in those algae. If they patent those things, that means you will not be able to sell those or advertise those products for 5 years in any of the countries, Japan, and Australia, the countries that are signatories of this thing. You know, I think it's more than theoretical. It would hold up in court.
Yeah. You've really studied this, Yoichi. You got it, and this is a critically important product. It was proven at Chernobyl, and I do take it every day, put it in my nutrition drink, and I urge all of you to look at the ad and please consider the fact that this is not a guessing thing. This is a for sure. This will help protect you from the radiation you are in contact with right now.
For the pharmaceuticals to sell algae in a very simply processed condition. But by identifying the active ingredients, they can knock out all the producers, smaller producers, and dominate the world market. Basically, at a time when the radiation threat is apparent to everybody, let's say in a few more years, they would hold the copyright and patent. And if you want the medicine, you have to pay this astronomical price for that. Mm-hmm. Whereas today, you know, you pay a few dollars. It's nothing, right?
They'll raise the price 5,000%, 10,000%. They don't care.
To make it prohibitive. Yeah. And it's your fault if you die because you didn't spend the money on their patented product.
Right.
And so this, I think, is extremely dangerous. Other implications beyond, let's say, this radiation concern of ours is blood products. They can pass, plasma and elements in human blood and organs.
Oh, and they do.
Enzymes,
they spin so many different products out of human blood, it's not funny.
Yeah,
they spin these products.
Now, it's conceivable if your child has an accident or something and you want to give a blood transfusion to your child, you could possibly be like, the right to do that. Say, well, no. This hospital signed a licensing agreement with Pfizer or whoever, and you cannot donate blood to your dying child. You have to buy a Pfizer product, which we will order for you in 5 days from now. Yeah, I mean, this is the industry. And okay, another problem here. I don't just study science and radiation, but we have a guy called John, the philosopher. You know, he's the founding philosopher of individual rights and so on. Basically, the American Revolution was based on, you know, the whole Constitution and
Give us his name again.
Locke. John Locke. And when you talked about life, liberty, and property, there's fundamental notion that your basic property is your body. No one else can own your body, okay? control of your body, all right?
Theoretic.
You have ownership of it, and you decide. You have the responsibility to take care of your body, but you have the right to protect your body. But it is your body. It doesn't belong to somebody else. So this is like the basis of anti-slavery, all kinds of stuff, human rights, and so on. So basically, by patenting human blood, organs, enzymes, proteins, they are depriving you of your right over your fundamental property, your body. You no longer own your body. They own all human bodies, okay, on this planet. You know, this is like a corporate slavocracy we're talking about, where, and this is a chilling reminder that Dr. Mengele, Unit 731, what they did to people. You know, they did experiments on people, mass experiments in the field. And basically, the TTP biologic law is just a scientific coat on this same kind of inhumane medicine. The same tradition is being here, where the government, you know, let's say the corporations approved by the government are the ones who own the human body, not you. It's not yours anymore. So this is a fundamental throwback to the pre-Lockean days, you know, before the American Revolution brought in the notion of individual rights. This is a throwback to basically slavery. You know, this is global slavery. And I say global because, you know, yeah, 12 Asian countries and North America and NAFTA. And, you know, NAFTA was a threat, and now we see with the threat of NAFTA, you know, what Ross Perot was talking about, Chile and Peru.
Right.
That's 40% of the world's market. This is trade bloc, which is like the anti-European Union opposes, right? Opposes GMO. This is the pro-GMO bloc.
Yeah. It's
this
all.
Is what's happening. We got a group as bigger than the EU that is, like, in support of GMO and support of biotech, and you know, whatever good is coming out of Europe, you know, in their green laws and all that, you know, support for organic farming. This bloc, which is larger than the EU and which controls the EU's main markets, U.S., Japan, Southeast Asia, the main markets in the EU, can have a set of rules entirely opposed to the main rules of the EU. So this is really, I think, a giant threat, and Congress has got to, I think the only body that can stop it is Congress. And Congress is very weak to these lobbies, you know, so. And I hope the presidential candidates, pressure should be put on them to come out against TPP entirely.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I concur, obviously.
Yeah.
The TPP passage has gotten very little contact, no mention to speak of, from or by the mainstream media that I've seen so far. It just didn't happen. It just snuck through. And that was it.
Yeah, it was done in the language is still secret. All we can get are summaries from the delegates, very rough summaries. Biologic. Yeah, so it basically is a secret treaty. And the chief negotiator, U.S. Michael Froman, was a classmate at Obama at Harvard Law. And get this, he was on the editorial board of the journal that Obama was chief editor of, the Harvard Law Review.
I don't think Obama was the editor of anything except by name. What was the guy's last name again?
That is the point.
Yeah. What was the guy's last name?
Froman.
Froman. It's Jewish.
Froman. Froman. He's from San Rafael, California. San Rafael is right next to South Alito. It's one of the richest places in the world. Froman, obviously Jewish, you know. Was at University of Chicago. I mean, he was basically on a parallel track with Obama when Obama's papers were being written.
Well, another Zionist winner on the fast track.
Froman may actually have been the ghostwriter for Obama.
It seems like several people were ghostwriters for Obama. The guy never did a day's work in his life, I don't think.
Bill Ayers, certainly Bill Ayers was one of them,
Bill Ayers wrote Dreams of My Father.
Law Review,
Bill Ayers wrote Dreams of My Father. What's that?
Okay, there you go.
And I want to point out, once again,
book,
I would urge all of you Well, we've got another year with this this dirtbag Marxist communist. He's not finished. And I would urge all of you to look at the documentary available online, Dreams of My Real Father, by Joel Gilbert. This movie, I am sure, was stocked with Mossad information, the truth about Obama's background, because they wanted Romney in there as president. But unfortunately, 8 million votes disappeared, and Obama won re-election. Okay? That's the way it worked.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, I recommend Wayne Matz's Making of a President. Oh, my gosh.
There's
skullduggery around the world. Kenya, Indonesia, the coup in Indonesia.
Yeah.
Horrendous things were being done. Yeah, millions of people massacred and under the Kenya. This is a trail of blood that leads to the White House. And now we're finding all this conniving corruption. So, I wonder what Froman did to get these Asian leaders to approve his rotten deal. You got to wonder what he did.
That's a very important question.
National Economic Council. It's part of the National Security Council. What did they do to convince these people to sell out their economy, to sell out their people, to sell out the bodies of their people, sell the people into slavery? That's what's going on here. And Americans, of course, they're going to lose. This is just an open door for Toyota to annihilate Ford and GM. It basically lowers all the tariffs and all that. There's no price competitive for American automakers. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I have seen next to nothing in the media about this TPP being signed. It's just not there. It's not. They buried it.
They're just going to keep this away from the American people, but I think people got to look at what's going on. The Japan Times has a good summary this morning on the TPP. Horrific what's being done. In a very neutral, bland word in Japan Times, you can see this is a bad, bad, bad deal. You know, Ford Motor Company has come out against the deal. They're going to be crazy.
Yeah. All right. Yochi, thank you. We'll let you go.
It's time for people to pressure all the candidates. Okay, very good then. Next week then. All right,
talk
bye-bye.
To you next week.
And,
good night.
We wish Dana very well. Glad to hear he's back.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Yochi. Thank you.
All right. All right, we're going to do the second half hour with Dana Durnford, who is recently back from hopefully his last life-risking adventures up and down the British Columbia coast, I guess all the way to Alaska, looking at tide pools, recording, photographing, videotaping the disaster, the catastrophic raping and pillaging of life as we knew it along the British Columbia coast. The soup of life is gone. It's gone. It can't regenerate. It's over. Tell us what's new in your travels and what you've found.
Yeah, you nailed it. That time, Jeff, big time. It's shocking that, the snow is gone from all the mountains also, and so the rivers and
estuaries. No snowpack. No, it's amazing. Right? No snowpack.
And it takes a long time. It takes like 1,000 years or something to make that glacier ice back up in the mountains. That thickness.
Uh-huh. Right?
It's who knows, tens of thousands of years or something to get it back to what it was originally. But you could get snow in the wintertime. You get a bit of snow there, but it's not going to be there in the sun next summer. So this is only definitely going to get worse now. And because the tritium is everywhere, the 7,000 becquerels in Canada, probably all in North America, per liter of water that they emit to, that's 7 million becquerels in a hot tub. But anyway, the coastline...
7 million becquerels in a hot tub, wow.
Just tritium. Now, of course, if you got tritium there, and then with every tritium that's made, there's all these other daughters of all the other 2,000 elements that most likely are going to be there also. And so it's at least 120 years. If it was only tritium, we'd have to worry about it, but everything else is going to be there. The coastline, now we've done all the West Coast, and we started at Alaska. We came down the coastline every 20 nautical miles, methodically, meticulous. I can't even pronounce that name. My
meticulously.
Birthday,
yeah.
Thank you. I'm starting to. It's just that.
Hey, it's your birthday. Relax.
The enormity of what what we're looking at, it's got me stunned since I come home. Uh-huh. I haven't been able, the first two nights I had nightmares nonstop, I couldn't sleep. All day long, I don't stop on this. I want to get a documentary out there. And I think this planet is waking up. And, you know, that all we really got to do is something, anything, as a sign of good faith. And then we could all have a little tiny bit of hope. But we can't even have that when they're still out there talking about bananas and potato chips and walking in sunshine.
They're not going to stop. They're not going to stop.
Right.
They're going to talk about dental x-rays and plane flights and bananas and potato chips and absolutely anything they can do to steer us away from facing the reality that the entire North Pacific has been slaughtered with radiation, which is going 27 hours a day. It's not slowing down.
Well, I mean, you said it at the beginning there when we started this conversation that it was the super life is gone. And so, folks, what he's talking about is that if you plowed in the coastline, the entire coastline, then there's 4 million species in the ocean. Even if the 5,600 species that live in the tidal pools were to disappear under normal circumstances, the 4 million species that are in the Pacific Ocean would reseed that.
Right.
If just one species was to miss on the coastline, another species would fill in that void that's already there or an opportunist. And that's the point of it, is that the ocean didn't, like you said earlier, did not recede its coastline, folks. And so a glass of water, anybody who's not familiar, would have a billion creatures in it, and 75 to 100 million of them are the phytoplankton, the basis, the food chain, the oxygen, the carbon sequestering chains. Now, that super life itself is gone. And then everything else fell behind, like you've covered many times. The squid is gone, the sardines are gone, the herring are gone, the mackerel are gone. The anchovies are gone. So these are the most important part of the cycle out there because they feed all the migratory animals and birds. Just this incredible
think of it like Dana's talking. Each species of fish would represent a ring in a chain. All right? You got more and more rings are not broken. They're gone. So you got no more chain. The chain of life, it's gone.
Yes. And so that's why, like, I was slurring and stumbling at the beginning of it. And I meant to start this conversation off with, and I'm going to do this from now on, I'm starting to do it, is that by telling people originally that you can't have a conversation about Fukushima without sounding like an alarmist. You can't have a conversation about nuclear period without sounding like a fear-mongering. But so how could you have a conversation about it is the problem. But then the people that are covering this up will say it's like a banana. But if you look up a banana, it's good for you. It's not bad. You know, when I go in the supermarket, I don't feel the banana's beady little eyes on my back every time I'm over there because they're not bad for me, you know. And that's, you know what I mean, though. I'm not scared to go past bananas. Now I am because I don't know anymore, but because they're radiated too. Everything is radiated, folks. All your food, all your water, all the groundwater, everything. And this stuff comes in and hits your mountains and then washes back down to the coastline. If you're between the mountain and the coastline, you're probably not in a good spot. And if you're on the west side of the Rocky Mountains, everything goes towards the Pacific. On the east side of the Rockies, it's all going towards the Atlantic. So what do you do, live on top of the Rockies? That's not a good spot either. And so there's nowhere to hide. So we need to deal with it. And we can't ignore it. And they can't hide it much longer. You know, they might think that because time is moving on, that this is becoming less pertinent and that the radiation has disappeared. It's not going to disappear for hundreds of thousands of years, long after that human experience is long annihilated by this and every other species. But coming down the west coast of Canada, I literally never seen anything. There's just a couple of little spots where there was signs of life. And we'll go to a commercial. I mean, there was nothing. It was shocking this time. This is supposed to be the most lively part of the coastline, folks, and we'll pick up after.
Well, indeed. World-famous tide pools along the British Columbia coast, and now looks like it might as well be a beach on Mars. Nothing there but rocks and water. And they did finally admit to water on Mars. We knew that years ago from some of the early pictures. Hold on a minute. We'll come right back with Dana Durnford, nuclearproctologist.org. back in a minute. Okay, back with Dana Durnford, our certainly hero of the year, if not several years since Fukushima, has made, how many trips did you make, Dana? Five?
Five expeditions, 15,000 miles, yeah. It's
yeah.
A lot of going.
Imagine being partially crippled on crutches from a terrible accident. He's a commercial diver, got the bends, and making this trip basically by himself in a 21-foot Zodiac with a top jury rigged on it. Just don't know how he did it, taking pictures and videos and measurements. And we know now what the government probably already knows but isn't about to tell us. They have set up monitoring stations like a wall all across the North Pacific. I've seen a map of it. Woods Hole is involved and others. And it is quite clear that the government knows, Dana, exactly what's going on the surface,
so, yes.
Under the water, above the water, in the atmosphere.
Absolutely.
They know what's going on precisely.
Hey, all the kelp is dead on the entire coast.
Is
and
it
so
really?
The bull kelp. Yeah, I got documentation of it. Everywhere I went, it was the same. It was totally rotten and completely destroyed.
The bull kelp or all the kelp?
All the kelp is, but the bull kelp's the most obvious.
Wow.
When you found it, because it's 50 feet high sometimes, right? So it really stands out. And huge chunks, so it's very good for the camera, in other words, unfortunately. And it just, I think that was the most striking thing was, And Ken Buesler, he wants water samples in Jerry Cullen, but they don't want kelp in their water samples, and they don't want sediment because that's
Well, speaking of kelp, whatever happened to Kelp Watch 2014?
Yeah, you got them really good. Yeah, they made an announcement before they even got any samples.
Well, Dr. Kai Vedder, the head of the Department of Nuclear Biology at UC Berkeley, just blew it. Said, don't worry, we're not going
to
find anything to worry about. And then he had to back. We roasted him on this program, and he had to backtrack.
Yeah, you did
later.
So, yeah.
No,
hey,
I nailed him.
I got over 100 headlines on him.
Yeah.
I got over 100 headlines, on UC Berkeley professors. So Berkeley, but there is a couple of good people there. But, I mean, my goodness, the word is getting out there. I must admit, this trip in particular, everybody mentioned Fukushima to me. Everybody told me what they thought happened to the coastline. All
in the little towns.
In the little communities with like 100 people, 200 people.
You know, they're all going to disappear. Where are they going to go? What are they going to do? To sell gasoline to the tourists who drive up there to see nothing?
There's no tourists up there because there's nothing there. And so all the tourists, and I talked to a lot of them people out there on the boat sports fishies. And they burn big monies on little tiny boats and big boats. And a lot of them were curious of what I was. Who was this nuclear proctologist.org? You tied up at all these wharfs. There was a lot of, when I left, it was pretty good weather. So they were still going for the last part of the trip, the last couple of weeks of the trip, it seemed like the whole coastline was empty at that stage. They all went at the end, September, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what was noticeable was there was six people that knew me. Knew who I was, called me by name, came down to see me.
No kidding.
And, and that's at about 12 ports. Two was in one port, and the other four were in individual ports. But they recognized the boat, and they knew who I was, and they were expecting me. And they come down and just say hi to me, and extremely nice people. Two of them were hounds from the Fukushima Hounds. But the four of them told me they've never commented, but they were following it. So I thought that was really... really interesting.
That's very nice. Very encouraging.
And they told me they had some success with their friends and families. I did talk to a number of... I tried to talk to everybody this time in particular because I knew it would be my last expedition. I knew I'll do it again if there's an event. Don't get me wrong. There's not going to be many more mass mortality events because there's not even left out. Or whatever's left out is dying off now. We'll see mass mortality for maybe another 2 years if we're really lucky, unfortunately. What a crazy thing to say. But, I mean, that'll be the end of it. I don't suspect we're going to see whales past 2018 because there'll be nothing left for them to eat. They're cannibalizing each other out there now. That the fishermen were telling me that they're not puking up the squid or the sardines or the herring on their boats. The offshore guys were telling me that I've seen fishermen that up further up the coast and seen further down the coast, and then they went and looked at my site, and they told me that was the end of it for them. I was ready to leave one wharf, and there was a fisherman come up to me. Beautiful boat. He's been at it since he was 19 years old. He was about 54 years old. And he was frantic. He wanted to talk to me, so I tied the boat back up. And, of course, because that's what I'm all about anyway, is taking a moment. Yeah. And he grilled me for an hour. But everything I said was a pertinent question to what I was saying. And he worked it out in an hour. See, that's what I mean, that people are intelligent enough once they understand there's an issue and they get an opportunity to get some real data, they can make up their own mind. But, like, if you go to the nuclear proctologist, it's 200 pages. I got 9 pages up from this expedition so far, around 2,000 pictures. There's a couple more pages I haven't released yet because it was my birthday. Oh, my goodness. I don't stop, Jeff. I'm like your software. It's just... I haven't stopped since I got off the ocean. I haven't had a break. And today, haven't had a break. And
sleep in tomorrow morning.
I'm not going to try.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to sleep in a little bit. But
well,
this is an emergency, as you know.
If you can, I want the people to understand this is already manifesting itself profoundly all along the coast of BC. And it's moved inland, all right? And I mean this to the extent that you're not finding insects. And I'll never forget the day on this program when Dana told us, he said, nothing on the windshield, nothing on the front of the car. Hardly worth wiping the windshield off when you filled up. He was driving up at that point. And other people said the same thing. No, and no insects means no birds.
And I got reports from right across North America since then through the emails, correspondence, lots of pictures of people driving across the country and taking pictures of their bumpers and sending it to me. Frightening. Just frightening.
Wow.
Yeah, no, symmetrically through the coastlines.
So it's spreading inland.
At least 200 miles heavily. Because that's where the salt deposits. Salt's liberated the same way through the convection evaporation of the ocean.
Huh.
And it travels. So insects up to 200 miles inland are acclimated to more salt in their diet. But after that, the pH of the soil is pretty regular.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can never get away from it, but at least you can get away from that onslaught from the Pacific itself. That's how I see it.
Yeah,
I truly see it, and I truly believe in that 100%. And I truly believe, that now we got them. These guys are running scared at this stage, and they can't hide much longer. And they're just willing to say anything. That's why I say that's because they say the most ridiculous things at this stage now in utter desperation. And there's no uniformity like there was for the last 70 years where it was banana, potato chips, walking in the sunshine and getting on an airplane.
Yeah.
And, because that's how they fooled everybody. And that's not going to last much longer because people are asking them those questions all the time now. In the comment sections on every story, people are pounding them.
Uh-huh.
Anything that might be Fukushima related, you'll see people in Fukushima. So anybody that's reading any of these stories is going to see the words Fukushima. And probably that's why it's really truly spreading. And I find people are being more articulate in all the sections.
I have not seen one mainstream media clip about Fukushima in months. Nothing. It doesn't exist. The people that you're working with and you're educating with your website and your appearances here and what we try to do at Rents, those folks, you folks, are in the minority. You get it. You understand. This is not going away. It's only getting worse. And it's going to continue.
Yeah. No, sure.
And we're going to see deadly effects among the human population in the next 2-3 years. It's building up right now. These people will not stop eating out of the ocean. They just don't know any better. There must be an awful lot of fishing boats for sale.
Everything failed on the coastline this year. Every industry failed. Every single one of them. Yeah. And everybody kind of gets it, I think, this year. last couple of years, they've been thinking about Fukushima and wondering was it going to impact them. But this year, there's no doubt about it at all. And there's no snow in the mountain. That's a sobering thing. Everybody in the community has all recognized that. Everybody I mentioned that to literally said, yeah, what's that all about? Every single person did, but they said we can't find any information about it. And so the media won't even mention, you know, how the global warming, they would be all over, oh, you melted all the snow in Canada and the Rocky Mountains and everywhere else. That's quite, they've been screaming as we're going to melt all the glaciers. We finally did, and you won't mention it because it's Fukushima, because it's the tritium. There's so much of it. Like I said earlier, 7 million becquerels in a cubic meter in your hot tub, and that's falling on the mountains. Is supposed to normally, you know, be part of the snowpack 1,000 years down the road. Instead, it won't allow anything to crystallize like Yoshi's saying, which was, you know, really astute, because there is so much of this tritium. It's been, if you go look up those headlines, you'll find all kinds of the massive amounts of tritium got released.
Tell us what, for our listeners who don't know, tell us why tritium is a worry.
It's, well, you know, if you go way back into the studies, and tritium, before the PR firms were created, say, for instance, when it was all, you know, it was all hype, everybody was in on it, and all the media was just coming out and brain about it and everything else, and the Ruskies were going to get, you got to get the nuclear weapon. So everything was focused in, and now it's not about that anymore. Now it's about cover-up over the last 70 years. And so tritium has been attributed to 8% of children back then that were dying.
Turn the music down just a little, please. Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
From the nuclear detonations, 8% of children back in those days was attributed to that, to real scientists. And the list goes on again to the human and animal populations of those episodes happening. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize it was the end of the show, Jeff.
Yeah.
How did you
go? In fact, no, you go, and you get some rest, and happy birthday again, Dana. Thanks so much.
Yeah, it's a strange night for me. Thank you, my friend. Good night, everybody.
Talk to you. Talk to you next week. All right. Dana Durnford, nuclearproctologist.org. All right? Okay, there's our Monday program for you. Be right back with you tomorrow night. I think that's Tuesday. So we got an interesting program tomorrow night, for sure. All right? We'll talk to you then. Take care, have a good day, and get a good night's sleep.